Last week we had the first eight verses of chapter 24 of Matthew, and they are the conditions that we had last time that lead up to tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. And it was called, as we saw, Jesus' words, he called it the beginning of sorrows. And these signs and these conditions should wake people up. They should wake us up in the time in which we are living and the soon coming of our Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We see these signs that we read of last time. We see these signs of the time. So we wake up, the time is near. We come to verse 9, and we read the very first word. It says, then. See, we've been reading, all of these are the beginning of sorrows, verse 8. And then it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So that word then is very important, because it tells us that it is tribulation time. This is tribulation. It's not any longer the beginning of sorrows, but tribulation begins. And we must remember now who Jesus is ministering to in this 24th chapter. He is not ministering to the church. He is ministering to Israel. And there shall be great persecution and hatred during the time of tribulation. Now, we know that some believers are going to go through the beginning of those days. I won't say just how long it will be that they have to be in those beginning days. But I know some who have studied prophecy. They believe it could be like a year or a year and a half and around like that. But I'm not going to say, because I don't know. But one thing we know, that during tribulation time, there's going to be the work of the false prophet. And then we know that the Antichrist will come upon the scene. But we're right here in verse 9 and 10. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Isn't it clear he's talking to the nation of Israel? Yes. And, oh, they're going to suffer. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. The saints shall be hated of all nations for Christ's sake. Then the concerning the unbelievers, which are said to be many, they shall betray one another. I can't forget seeing some history of the Holocaust, and how that there were some Jews who did the work in those camps against their own people to spare their lives or to get some favor, maybe food or whatever, and they were keeping alive, and they would even take their own people to the gas chambers and tell them, that you're just going for a shower, and so on. And those were Jews. So here we read of this time now, and there's going to be secret believers who are going to be snitched on by those who fear for their own lives. And we notice these words in verses 9 and 10. Notice these words: afflicted, kill, betray, hate. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we also notice two more words here, deceive and love waxing cold. It certainly will be in evidence at that time. This will be evident after the rapture of the first rank, because we know that the first rank are not in tribulation. They're kept out. Remember that from Revelation? Yes. I think it's bad enough now, don't you? Yeah, it's bad enough now. And we're seeing by the news it's getting worse every day. But when the overcomers are taken out of the world, like that first rank that are kept out of tribulation, well, evil men will have their day. Their hatred waxing worse and worse, that even the true love of disciples will wax cold. And that's sad to read, but it's true. We're told it right here. And I don't know whether I mentioned it before, but this is all Jesus' words, all red letter. And many are going to be afraid to declare their sympathy with the faithful remnant. They're going to fear. And I have a lot of references tonight. I usually say, now just listen, you know. I would like tonight for you all to turn to these references. After all, it is a Bible study. And 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I may even come back to one of these verses later, but I want to read that now with this portion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 3 first. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this is the Antichrist as king, and he will come during that period, of course. All right, let's read verses 6 and 7 of this 2 Thessalonians 2. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. It says his time, but you know, it has to be the Lord's time, doesn't it? And notice there's something that's withholding. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the overcomers of today that are holding back the darkness. What holds back the darkness? Lights. Yes. And just think, the lights being taken out of the world. oh, how dark it's going to get. But how do they withhold their presence here? We are the lights of the world. Of course, we know Jesus is the light. But because we have Jesus, we are the lights now. And we are withholding. So how are they withholding the revealing of the Antichrist? By their presence, by their prayer, or maybe I should say by our presence, by our prayers, and by proclaiming the word of God and standing for the truth. So when the powerful lights are taken up, how much easier it's going to be for the powers of darkness to descend upon this world. The overcomers are that which withholdeth. Do you have it marked in your Bible? That's the overcomers. When they are taken out of the way, then the man of sin shall be revealed. All right, back in our chapter, and verse 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This verse that I just read is so misused in religious circles. It's misapplied. Many say, oh, you have to hold out faithful to the end of your life to be saved. You have to keep the law. Or they might say, you have to endure to the end to keep saved. And so on. I don't know all the things that they say. But what is the subject of this portion? Is it keeping saved? No. The text, the subject is tribulation days, and it's not keeping ourselves saved. We're saved forever, because when God does a thing, he doesn't do it halfway. What does he, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. You might think, oh, well, I know them verses. Well, let's look at them again. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Didn't say hold out faithful to the end, does it? That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there will be many who will be saved so as by fire. We read of them in 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to read there. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. It says here, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. And what is the fire? It's the fire of the truth. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Does he lose his salvation? No. He loses out rewards, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, the reason why is building with the wrong building materials, and they will lose rewards. It's not, the subject isn't salvation at all. The subject is rewards. We're saved because Jesus on the cross, when he was doing the work that he came to do from his Father, what did he declare? It is finished. We're not saved because of our work. Every man will receive rewards or lack of rewards because their works are burned up, those ones that it doesn't pass the fire test. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, and verse 10. This is true concerning all believers. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, the deeds done in the body. When you hear this verse quoted that one say, oh, you got to hold out faithful to the end to be saved. Well, we can remind them that that isn't the subject, that verse that they're quoting. The subject is not salvation. It's not about losing your salvation. Let's turn to 1 John. We got to read that. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, so we know he's speaking to the saints, right? And what is the next word? That's a very important one. It says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that word now is in there? Now are we the sons of God. That was 1 John 3:2. We don't have to wait until the end of our life to find out whether we're saved or not. we don't want to take a verse out of context. Leave it right where it is, the chapter where it belongs and what the subject is. And what is it speaking of then? It's speaking of those that endure that time of tribulation. They endure. They're still alive. They will be saved physically. They will be saved from death at the hand of the Antichrist. Yes. Thank the Lord. All right, back in our chapter, we're ready for verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What gospel is this talking about? It's not the gospel to the church. No, it is the gospel of the kingdom. It said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The kingdom is not our message today. You hear sometimes people say, oh, I'm helping build the kingdom of God. That's not our message today at all. It is preached that way. But praise the Lord. I'm going to be here through tribulation and I'm going to help set up Christ's kingdom. Well, that's pretty foolish too. But as I heard one say, they said, well, maybe they will be, because Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it. But anyway, but we have the promise of going to heaven. Aren't you glad? We have that promise. John 14 is one verse I want to read. John 14, another very familiar verse or verses. 1-3 of John 14. This is one place I want to read, that we are promised that we're going to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord. Well, again, red letter. This is Jesus' words. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Yes. The Lord has given us a revelation of something better. The high calling in Christ Jesus is to the church. You know, everyone in the church is called to a high calling. You hear ones, well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But we read in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. I better read that first before we go to the next one. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. No, second chapter. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Now,
uh-huh. That's cute. All right. Philippians 3:14. I almost got ahead of myself and was trying to comment on this one before I got there. Philippians 3:14. Paul says here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are some who think that the subject in this verse is the high calling. No. What is the subject? The subject is the prize. The whole church is called to a high calling. We just read those verses that we're promised our place in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. But praise the Lord, there's a prize to the high calling. That's the subject, not the high calling. As I said, all believers are called to a high calling. But praise the Lord, we with Paul were pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. All right, when that verse 14 that I read in Matthew, the last part of that verse, it says, then shall the end come. I want to give what Strong's Concordance gives for the end. Then shall the end come. End come. That sounds funny to say it by itself, but it means to set out for a definite point, the point aimed at as a limit, the conclusion of an act or state. Then shall the end come. Verse 15, then ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And then writer here adds, notice it's in parentheses, whoso readeth, let him understand. Yes. Well, first of all, we're still reading Jesus' words. He knew Daniel, didn't he? And he knew what it meant, what it was all about. And the abomination of desolation, we find that in Daniel 12, 11. It's the image of the Antichrist set up by the false prophet in the temple. And I'm going to read from Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation 13. The 13th chapter of Revelation, and I want to read verses 14 and 15. This is a false prophet is speaking of. We would have to go back to verse 11 to realize that. The beast that cometh out of the earth, cometh up out of the earth. All right, verse 14 and 15. and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, speaking of the Antichrist as king, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live, and had power to give life to that image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Jesus says here in our chapter, when you see the image, remember he's speaking to Israel. He says, when you see the image of the, I'm going to quote it exactly. The abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. It is good for us. The writer added, whoso readeth, let him understand. In other words, take notice, ponder, consider, and heed. That's the meaning there of those added words. Heed what? Well, the next portion tells us exactly what this means. We're going to read it without the parentheses. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. See why that means ponder and take notice and heed? Yes, because then, what does that mean? It means those last 3.5 years, great tribulation. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it calls it Jacob's trouble. Israel is going to suffer terrifically. The Holocaust will be nothing compared to this, because we read that there was nothing like this on the earth before or after. Let them which are in Judea flee unto the mountains. I could read 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. I think I already read part of that. I'm going to read it again. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. So those that be in Judea, says, flee unto the mountains. That is 2 Thessalonians. Did I say the wrong verse? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I read 3 before, but I hadn't read 4. So they are to flee unto the mountains, and because this greater judgment is coming upon the land of Israel, and there's going to be terrible warfare. All right, verse 17 of our chapter. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Yeah. Flee. Leave it. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Haste. Escape. Some misuse this portion too, and they say it's concerning the rapture. Well, no, this is not how the Lord's going to come to those that are in the rapture. No, but I think I'll read 18 through 21. Neither let him that is in the field turn back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's hard to see anything on the movies or TV about the Holocaust. I know we went to a Holocaust museum in when we was over in Israel. Oh, it was so depressing. You couldn't wait to get out of there. It was so depressing.
I wanted to stay on the bus when I was in Germany.
Uh-huh.
And they wouldn't let me. They made me go in.
Oh.
It wasn't the museum. It was one of the concentration
camps. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then walking past where they have the showers, it just really...
Yes. Jacob's troth. That's what it says. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. The remnant that is looking for their Messiah to come, they will flee from Jerusalem, and they're going to hide in the mountains and the hills, and God's going to protect them. We read of this in Revelations, the 12th chapter. I said Revelations. It's Revelation. 12. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get rid of a... All right, Revelation 12. I'm going to read several verses here. I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to start with verse 6. It's speaking of the remnant. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Well, we've come down to 14, and we know how long that is. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. In other words, 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent shall cast out his mouth, out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, and he shall cause her to be carried away of the flood, and the earth shall help the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, we already read, woe unto the woman that is with child. You can just imagine having a little one and having to flee like this. It would make it a lot harder, wouldn't it? And what a terrible time that is going to be. And no doubt they're going to have to go by night and under the threat of being killed, just as we read. All right, back in our chapter, I want to read then, starting with verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The elect is the remnant that are going to... they're believing God and they're looking for their Messiah to come. And for their sake, those days will be shortened. They will not be killed. You know, Satan has a measured time, supposedly these 7 years, but his time is going to be shortened. So it's not going to be quite 7 years. It will be shortened. Verse 23, then, that's another important word, then If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we see what power false prophets will have. And of course, it will be Satan where they get their power. I think Satan worship is getting more predominant today than ever before. We no doubt are going to see more supernatural things as time goes by, even in religions and in occults. And you know, even believers can be deceived by such things. Aren't we warned to be careful? One thing that keeps us is keeping in the Word of God so that you won't be deceived. Measure everything that you hear by the Scriptures. I am appalled at the things that are passed around. Of course, I don't go on the internet. I just see it on email. But on the email, I know it has to be on the internet too. The things that are passed around by religious, supposedly, people. And it's false. It's false. Well, when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted Scripture. He says, for it is written, in tempting him. Well, the false prophets are doing that today. They use Scripture, and they deceive many because they use Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. I don't think I've read this before. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Yes, this is important. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. How do we prove it? By the Word of God. Yes. You know, anybody can make the Scripture say what they want it to say. All they have to do is take it out of context. All they have to do is misapply it and tell you, well, this is what it means. And they can make Scripture say anything they want it to say. And these false Christian psychologists, so-called, I don't see where those two words go together myself. That's exactly what they do. They take portions out of Scripture and make up formulas for you to pass. And you might say, oh, what do you know? What are you talking about? Jack and I went to the Gother one. We sat through it. We saw how they brainwashed the people, religious people from all denominations there. They just brainwashed them, and they used Scripture, and everything sounded so good. You could solve all your problems. All you had to do was follow their formulas. Well, what is that boil down to? It's works. If you are following their formula and following their formula to solve your problems, that's works. That's not God. That's not Paul's gospel. It sound. I'll tell you though, what they give. Oh, it sounds so good. It sounds so good, and it leading away from the Lord. It leaves the Holy Spirit completely out. Yes. You solve your own problems with the Scripture, but. God does work his word in our lives, but how does he do it? He does it by his Holy Spirit as we yield to him. And what do we read in the Scripture? Two places I have. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5:6. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? This here is in a section talking about the immorality that is present in their assembly. And they allow it. And it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Let's turn to Galatians 5:9. Again we read, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what the subject here is? It's the bondage of the law. And I've said this before, and sometimes you may not see it right away, but all error, it takes you to works. If you, it's not the Pauline's gospel, it is works. It takes, leads you to works. Okay. See why we have to judge everything according to the Word of God? And I felt like tonight it was important for us to look at all of these scriptures, because I'm not making these things up. I want you to know it's the Word of God. But it has to be the word rightly divided. Have you ever heard that before? Yes. The word rightly divided. And it's important that we compare scripture with scripture. Amen. You know, Paul had to withstand Peter, didn't he? He withstood him to the face when he was acting outside of God's word. And he had to do that. And so must we. We've been judged for doing that. And they say we don't show love. But when it comes to something that's being taught that's against the word of God, we must take a stand. Now, we are to love all of God's people. And I don't believe we're guilty of not loving all of our brothers and sisters. But when it comes to teaching a false doctrine, we must take a stand. Let's go back to our chapter, verse 25. All right. That's right. That's amen. I wholeheartedly agree. Verse 25, behold, as I have told you before, Jesus says this, therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chamber, believe it not. Yes, believe it not. You know, this isn't how the Messiah will come anyway. No. Verse 27, how shall he come to Israel and to judge the world? For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, this isn't how he'll come to the church. No. This is how he will come to Israel. And it's going to be swift. It's going to be openly to judge the nations and to deliver the remnant of Israel, his people. And you think of lightning. It says, as lightning cometh out of the east. Well, lightnings can be pretty destructive, right? And he is coming in unsurpassing judgment on the unrighteous. And praise the Lord. Well, I'm only going to read one more verse. Now we come to another important word. Here it is, four. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This four is the result of the great warfare. The carnivorous birds, they're going to be gathered unto the great supper of God. And we read of this in Revelation 19. I get there. Revelation 19. I think I'll read verse 17 and 18. And I saw an angel. Now, this is after he has come, as you see the verses before. I'm not going to read all of that, but from verse 11 on down, talks about his coming to judge the world and to deliver Israel. And then we come down to verse 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye shall eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I won't read any further, but this is the flesh of the men fallen in battle. Yes. So the fowls of the heaven are going to have a great supper, so the great supper of God. Okay, I don't think I'm going to go any further tonight. We'll, the Lord willing, we'll take up verse 29 and see how far we'll go next week.